Welcome to episode 2 of the Rhode Island Gun Rights Podcast. I'm Mike, and I'm running solo tonight. No guests yet. We have some things in the works, but until then, I figured I'd get out a quick podcast to bring us into the weekend and fill everybody in on what's been going on behind the scenes and some of that type of stuff. But I want to start off with talking about a blog post that we just recently posted. I believe it was last night as of this recording. It went out to our newsletter subscribers today. Hopefully you're subscribed to the newsletter so you get those notifications. And there's a little bit of controversy surrounding it, but I think it's a good learning opportunity for us. And I think it actually dovetails into some of the work that's been going on behind the scenes. So I think it's a good fit. The letter was, it's a email response to a constituent from Rep. Corvese from District 55, North Providence, I believe it's North Providence. And he sent it to us saying that maybe this is something that could help rally the troops, so to speak. And I kind of agree. So we took the letter, we kind of broke it down into some of the key elements and added some commentary and talked about how we can use this insight from Rep. Corvese to help us improve. And I think that's what it's all about, right? Helping us to improve, get more effective and better at what we need to do to accomplish our mission, which is protect our rights that should not even be up for discussion. But here we are. So I don't know Rep. Corvese. I don't think I've ever met him over the years. I know of him. I know he's a 2A supporter. He's, you know, in his letter, he states that he will not be voting for any of these all weapons bans bills that are on the floor. But he kind of laid out some tough love, and he started off, he was pretty blunt. He thinks that the ban's going to pass, right? He thinks it's just that time. The stars are aligning. My word's not his, and he thinks it's going to make it through. I think that's why it's so important for the disaffiliation campaign. That's really all we have to fight back at this point, but we can talk about that. We talked about that last episode. If you haven't listened to it, go back and listen. But I think it's a key tool that we have in our toolbox to fight back, and we have to get on that. Now, that being said, you know, he did talk about some leadership issues, and you know, as I've been kind of meeting people and talking to people, I mean, leadership is hard. It's a thankless job. I mentioned this last episode. It's not easy work. There's only a handful of people doing a lot of the heavy lifting, and they need our support. That's kind of what has motivated me to jump in here, and hopefully, by doing what I'm doing, will help get more of you into the fight as well. But, you know, people get burned out, people get frustrated, people lose, you know, enthusiasm, and it is what it is, right? Like this is just one of those things about politics. And unfortunately, we are fighting an uphill battle every day, day in and day out, and they have all the advantage and the momentum. It's like, they are the conventional force, and we're a guerrilla element trying to fight against a far superior foe. He also acknowledged that there's untapped potential that we need to really dig into. And talking with some of the other organizers and people in the movement, it's recognized, it's understood. He mentioned the hundreds of 2A backers in Ron and Gun Clubs. I'd venture to say, from people I've talked to, that there's thousands. And I think even Glenn and I had spoke about this last time. But we need to get those clubs to motivate their memberships, right? There's some work to be done there. You know, that kind of falls back on us as members of those clubs to reach out to the leadership of those clubs and say, hey, look, use your platform to, you know, help us mobilize. And if they feel they can't mobilize, at least inform their membership about what's going on. So there's work to be done there. So I guess my call or my urging would be to, if you're in a member of the club, if you're leadership in a club, to somehow try to get that done. You know, members, try to convince your leadership. Leaders, try to convince the other board members that maybe are hesitant to do that for whatever reason. And I don't know why, because this is going to impact the clubs. And in turn, there's going to be a decline in membership, and that's problematic. So I know there are some other efforts from some other groups that are trying to urge in different ways, but I'll just leave it at that. Something that he kind of mentioned, and that's, I think, key to understanding, is the left and how they operate, right? He hit on the points that he sees the red shirts there all the time. They swarm the state house daily. They're engaging, they're convincing, they're, you know, talking with all the legislators, they're showing up. That's something I have seen as well. I've been studying the left for probably almost 10 years now. And I'm not talking about just listening to what they have to say, seeing what they post on social media. I'm talking about reading their books, as painful as that is, watching their training sessions, infiltrating their chat groups. Like, they are highly organized, well-funded. I hit on this earlier. We are up against a Leviathan, and it's an opportunity for us to potentially take some, you know, notice of their tactics and what they do and how they're doing it. And I'll get into more of that here shortly. But the something else he also mentioned was the lack of us, right? We've got this dynamic where they've got their red shirts and orange shirts, and we've got our yellow shirts to show up, so you can see who it's, you know, for lack of a better term, the uniform, that you can see who's who, right? And I've heard rumblings at some of the things I've been to, some of the discussions that I've heard, people saying that, well, you know, that's a waste of time. We've tried to show up in years past, and it's never worked in our favor, and it's a lost cause, just a waste of time, you know, on and on and on. Well, I get that sentiment, and I can get, you know, again, I certainly can appreciate that frustration. I think it's a missed opportunity when we try to just push that off and block ourselves out of that as a potential way to rally, if you will, pardon the pun, I guess. And let me give you a couple of examples of why it's important. One of the most fundamental examples or fundamental points I want to make is when we all get together like that, we can network, right? We're all together. We're there. We talk. We share ideas. We meet other people within the movement. You might run into somebody you haven't seen in a long time. Like, there's that team building and that community building aspect of it where everybody is rallying around a common goal and common mission. There's a psychological effect for the movement when that happens, right? The more often it happens, the better, right? So there's a lot to be said for that. That's a huge aspect of it. And the other side of it is there's opportunity. Again, we know the corporate media is not going to show how many people show up. We know this. But we also know that is getting less and less and less effective, right? It's more people are turning to alternative forms of media. They're going through social media, and we can use our own images and pictures and video clips and all that other stuff, right? So there's another aspect to that becomes useful for motivating other people who weren't there to get them out, say, hey, look, we were there. Where were you? It was fun. Maybe not fun, but it was a good event for us to get together. Why don't you join us next time? You know, that kind of thing. You know, there's a certain amount of social credibility to that, and I think that's important for us to recognize. And the left uses that highly effectively. They are extremely effective with it. And yeah, so I'll leave that at that. I mean, there he had a bold statement. He said, no one's got the brains or the balls to organize us. It's, you know, harsh, but it's a gut check, right? Like, so I'm going to say this. I took that as a personal challenge. It's like, it's almost like I dare you to do better. And that's the way I view it. I don't take it as an insult or as a criticism, you know, and I hope nobody else does. And I would, you know, urge you not to, and take it as a challenge, say, I'm going to prove you wrong. That being said, I don't think he's aware of what's going on behind the scenes right now. I don't know. We were sent that email around the 16th. I don't recall seeing a date on it when it was published. I assume it was very close to that time it was sent to us. But he's probably just unaware of what's going on behind the scenes, at least from my perspective and what I'm trying to accomplish and working with the others who are working with me. So there's a lot going on. I mean, to be honest, I don't think he can fathom the technology and the sophistication that the Rhode Island Gun Rights Project is bringing to the table. I mean, to be, again, completely blunt, when I talk to some of the other organizers about the stuff that we have in the pipe, it's the eyes start glazing over, right? It's a bunch of nerdy tech stuff. And I don't want to say we need to rely on tech too much. What I'm saying is the tools that we're bringing to bear are sophisticated and will help us organize, right? It's not just about, say, social media or amplifying messages. It's about, you know, organizing lists of people and volunteers, which is what I'm going to close this with, and all that type of stuff, as well as where, you know, my strategic plan is 2 years out, right? I'm looking towards the election and past. So there's stuff that I'm not even mentioned yet that is in the works. And I think I mentioned this in the first episode, the introduction episode. I don't like to overpromise and underdeliver. So I'll keep it close to the chest for now and then release it as it comes. So that's my response to that is there's some stuff going on behind the scenes that would, you know, make his toes curl. And to him, I say, hold my beer, watch this, right? And, don't make me look like a fool. I need help, right? Like I need the community to get behind the project, get behind the organizations that we're trying to support, and don't make us look like, you know, we have, you know, egg on our face, you know, the people putting in the effort and we want you to join in it and become part of it. So that's my ask, if you will. You also brought up the you know, an interesting cliche, right, or a phrase. Let me quote it directly before I butcher that statement. It only takes good men to do nothing for bad men to prevail. So, you know, I think that's a pretty profound statement and pretty accurate. It also reminds me of another phrase that some of you might have heard. It's our lives, our fortunes, our sacred honor, right? Something I've often heard over the years, involved in politics and especially on the you know, libertarian and the conservative aspect of it, is that, you know, well, we're too busy working our day jobs, paying the bills while they're getting paid to be at the state house, or we're too, you know, busy with family and all that. And I get that 100%, right? Like I get that's a real world thing. But sometimes in order to do great things requires great sacrifice. And the way I view it personally, take it for what it's worth, I'm trying to build a better future for my kids, you know, and grandkids and the future generations. So, you know, I'm willing to make those sacrifices. You know, this project is just, I think we're just hitting a month. I don't know if I marked my calendar when I started it. I think we're just at a month. Maybe a couple days shy of a month. Because his speech was on the 20th, I believe, of January. I could be screwing that up. But, you know, I started this project. I obviously have a day job like everybody else. I get off work. I work, you know, eat dinner, work on the project, work till 2-3 in the morning, sleep for a couple of hours, get up, go to work, rinse and repeat. It's like, that's it. You know, I'm doing it all on my own. I'm not asking for any donations for this project. And I don't want anything. I want that money to go to the people that are fighting on the ground. This is where I can contribute. It's the least I can do. But that's where I would urge you, you know, if you have a vacation day, take a day out of work to go up to the state house. Or if you have, a weekend that, you know, you can break away and go help out at, you know, an event or a fundraiser, or knock on doors or distribute stickers to all the gun shops and all that type of stuff. Like, please do. Please take that time and realize you're not just doing it for yourself. You're doing it for the future and our future generations, which is really what my focus is on personally. You know, it's about the mission, right? It's not about personalities. It's not about siloing a project. I don't believe in that kind of a mindset. And hopefully we're all on the same page on that. So he basically kind of talked about a playbook, right? Like he says, like, organize, plan, engage, resist. I think it is the quote that he had said that I have here in my notes. He's like, he's throwing their tactics back at us as the fix to the problem. And I do agree to a very large extent. Like I said, I've been studying the left at the strategic, the operational, and the tactical level for the better part of a decade. I also want to say that there are strategies and plans being put into place, right? Where these things are being discussed. Maybe, you know, he's not aware of it. That's more than likely. But for these efforts, we also need things like leadership. We need people to step up and take charge of different aspects of the effort. We need people as followers, right? We need boots on the ground, people that are willing to just do the grunt work and get it done. And, you know, that's hard work, right? So there's a lot that needs to be done there. There's an old army saying that I used to, you know, tell my guys oftentimes, right? And especially the young guys that are coming up, moving into leadership positions. You can do three things. You can lead, you can follow, or you can just get out of the way. And I just had this conversation with my son a couple months ago. And I will commit, as long as there's hope that this community will rally, I will continue to push, right? As long as there's people that are stepping up and we're getting people on the ground and it's moving, the momentum is moving in the right direction, I'm going to keep pushing, right? Obviously, it becomes a point where if everybody is giving up hope, you might have to, you know, count your losses, but I don't think we're anywhere near that. Like I said, I've got, at least for this project, you know, the plan is for years, not weeks, months, or anything less. So with all that being said, I'm taking his critique in that letter of our movement as motivation, right? Obviously it wasn't a pat on the back, but I'm viewing it as a kick in the ass, right? A way to get us moving, and I think we should listen, right? I think even if it hurts, even if it feels like it's a direct attack on you as a person or as an advocate or as an activist, as a gun owner, just take it for what it's worth. He's got a perspective. He sees what's going on from his perspective, which is unique. Only a limited few people have that perspective, and I think it's important information to absorb and to take to heart. So, like I said, I don't take it as a dig at the community. I never do with that type of criticism or critique. It's not how I'm wired. I believe in brutal honesty, probably to a fault, because I piss people off often when I'm that way. But I think it allows us to become better. Some people sometimes need to grow a thicker skin. And I've dealt with it for a long time, especially in politics, right? A lot of personalities, a lot of dynamics that are at play. But for us, we're talking about a real, extremely, in my opinion, and I'm sure most people, everybody listening to this, an extremely important and fundamental issue that we're fighting for. So, and brutal honesty, both good and bad, right? When we're doing good, we need to say it. When we're doing bad, we need to admit it or take the punches that are coming at us. I mean, if you look at the left, they thrive on critique. They critique each other. They improve. They do that. If anybody's familiar with the continuous improvement cycle, like they're all on it, right? Like it's take my word for it. If you don't know already. So how do we? One of the key takeaways I took, one is that I'll just touch on it real quick, is a disaffiliation campaign. We have this campaign that we're launching. We'll be sharing metrics here shortly within the coming weeks, but it seems to be moving in a very positive direction. So we're getting a lot of interaction and a lot of feedback and a lot of action on this. So it seems to be we're on the right path for sure. What I would, you know, I think we have the numbers. We talked about it with Glenn last week, where, you know, approximately 160,000 plus gun owners in the state. These elections are being won by only a handful of votes. There is a real impact that we can have if we organize. You know, people have to forget this. I'll never vote for a Democrat If that's your mindset, then enjoy your chains, right? Like that's what I have to say to you. If you can't strategically think and understand how we win this, you might be that person that needs to get out of the way. Like I said, lead, follow, or get out of the way. You might be that get out of the way type of person. And I say that, so it's we don't want you to do that. We want you to be a part of the movement. But when general election time comes, that's when you can vote for your favorite person. But we can disrupt their election where they have the power and we can, you know, project our power into their sphere. Yeah. If you don't understand that strategy, feel free to email me, you know, podcast@rigunrights.com. I'll get your email and more than happy to talk to you about it. That being said, this effort, as it progresses, we need volunteers, right? Not just for this effort ongoing. Again, like I said, strategic planning, right? 2, 3, 4 years down the road, we need people and manpower to get this done. And I've kind of gotten some feedback, talked with some of the other organizers, and what I've come up with is a volunteer page on the website. It's got a form on it where you can fill in your information. We do ask, there's some hesitancy within the movement for people to share personal information. And I get that. I'm a huge privacy advocate. But I think at some point, you got to kind of step out of that comfort zone. The other reality is you're willing to give all that information away on your to the government when you have to purchase a firearm. To here we are trying to form a movement or build the movement, I should say, that all we need is a little bit of information, your name, you know, your email address, your phone number. Maybe right now we're asking for your city or zip code on the volunteer form, merely to be able to organize you, right? Like if we have something that's going on in East Greenwich, we can pull up the list, say, who do we have in East Greenwich? Hey guys, girls, we need to get people out here at this location in East Greenwich, whatever, you know, for, you know, help so-and-so knock on doors. Then we ask you what you're interested in. We want people to do what they want, they feel comfortable doing. So we're asking, you know, where your areas of interest are, whether it's going to the state house, whether it's, you know, knocking on doors, making phone calls, text messaging, if you're a graphic design, if you're a photographer, like I mentioned at the, you know, a professional photographer at the state house taking images of us while we're up there in our shirts and together, that can be freaking really powerful. Anyway, I won't go down the whole list, but you get the point. Then we ask for your availability, right? When you're available, again, we want to respect people's time. So, you know, weekdays, weekends, evenings, whether you're flexible. If you are willing to go to the state house, we're asking you to identify which days you can go there. Typically the sessions, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. And we also ask for other times. Sometimes they throw things up there that we need to respond to. So that's basic information. And then the final step is just, so we're collecting on Rhode Island Gun Rights is collecting this in our management system, right? So we don't want to share your information outside if you aren't comfortable with us doing that. So we ask you a question. If you're comfortable with us just passing your information directly to, say, you know, Glenn at the 2A PAC or Mike at the coalition, or at Brenda with her revolver and pistol, whatever, regardless, whatever we're working with, Dan at Parabellum. So we can kind of play matchmaker, right? We can just pass your information on to them. They can make the contact and we go that way. We also have the option where you don't check that box and we just, they communicate to us, hey, we have something going on. I have a fundraiser. I need bodies to help us set up. Can you blast, you know, pardon the, you know, expression, but can you send out an email to the volunteer list to see if we can get some people to help with the event? And then we're more than happy way to do that. So we have multiple ways we can approach it. And we give you, the volunteer, the flexibility to say how you want us to communicate your information with those groups. Again, I think we all know each other. I don't think it's a problem, but I think it's just on the safe side, let you make that decision. And then lastly, we ask how you found us. This is just a little bit of inside information to gauge how effective we are. So did you find us through the web, you know, through social media, whatever, a friend told you about us, you were at an event and we talked, that kind of thing. So that's just another way for us to, again, that continuous improvement cycle. And so we can get better at our communication and go from there. And then finally, there's a text box there where you can add any comments or any additional information you want to convey to us. And that will be saved in the form as well. And we'll keep that take that into consideration. So that's the big thing. That's huge. The volunteer form is a big step forward, I think. And then the last thing I'm going to hit on, and this is going to be probably posted either later this evening and potentially go out to the newsletter tomorrow as of this recording, along with this podcast, more than likely, is we're posting a blog article that talks about the way we've been getting a lot of asked a lot of questions about how people can donate, how they can help, and all that stuff. So we've covered the helping part with the volunteer form, how people can donate. Again, like I said, we're not collecting donations. Rhode Island Gun Rights is not an activist organization. We're not a lobbying organization. We're just literally a hub for information and communication. Like that's really the focus, and building tools that will help the movement across the board. So we're not asking for donations, but we do understand that with a lot of people coming here, they need to know where to go to donate. So that blog post will talk about some of that, where you can help just immediately, you know, how, you know, the links you can donate to the Second Amendment PAC, the Firearms Owners League, Civil Defense Fund. I believe the 2A Coalition has a fundraiser coming up at Wright's Farm. Dan, I'm still talking with Dan. He's got a Parabellum. They've got a petition on their website, which if you haven't signed it, go to it. There's a petition up there for the weapons ban. And also he, I believe, is in the works for a donation link. So depending on whatever is available by the time I post that article, we'll do that. And I'm sure there's something I'm forgetting. Oh, the volunteer forum, we're going to promote that in the article. And I'm sure there's something I'm forgetting, but you'll see it on that's your teaser to go check out the form or the blog article rather. And then lastly, a dedicated donate here page. So I'm going to set up a static page or evergreen page that will just show all the organizations that are able to receive donations. You can go there, you can select the organization which you feel most comfortable with donating to. And also, if you are an organization and you want to be, and we haven't listed you on that page and you want to be listed on that page, there'll be a button at the bottom that goes to our contact form to reach out to us, say, hey, I'd like to put our logo and our link on this page, and so that we can help you get that information out. So I hope everybody has a great weekend. And like I said, I just want to close it with, don't take this type of criticism as a beatdown. Take it as a kick in the ass to motivate you and rally and cry to prove the rep wrong. And maybe, hopefully, I don't know, I'll communicate with the rep. We can get him in here at some point. We can talk with him. Seems like a reasonable guy, I'm sure. I don't, like I said, I don't know him, but we'll see how that goes. So until next time, stay safe and don't forget, disaffiliate.